Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Yeah, we always talk about the process, and look, you can look around the league and look at what we would call established coaches at this current time, but there was a time in their career early on where they probably were getting killed too. I think about, you know, Dan Campbell, I think about Shanahan, I think about all those guys that had to weather the storm, and that's what we'll do. And it starts with me. I'll weather the storm. You can write whatever you want. That's your job, and I understand it. I used to work in media. I understand that you guys have a job to do, and you know, I ignore the noise, and my responsibility is to put a winning team together, not only for now, but also in the future.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcand and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Good afternoon. Welcome in WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcand, Andy Hart, you at 617-779-7937. We've got Tommy Kern joining the show today. We'll give out awards at the quarter pole here of the NFL season, both the Patriots and the rest of the league. We got some Swayman updates to get to as well. A piece on the Red Sox from Alex Speer yesterday that really bummed me out, and Alex Speer's work doesn't tend to do that, but yesterday's missive he had out there in the Globe was just, I mean, listen, what was so upsetting about it was that it was just numbers, you know? Just the numbers.
Truth.
What the last,
the facts.
Exactly. The facts, the truth, the numbers of the last 4 or 5 seasons and how easy it is to get into the playoffs and how the Red Sox just can't do it and all of that. So we'll get to that a little bit later on in the show as well. But that was Gerard Mayo speaking to the media and talking about the media. Also pumping up his own credentials in the media when he worked with our guest today, Tommy Kern, on Quick Slants, which I assume is what he's referring to. Did he do other media other than that, or was it just Quick Slants?
I think just NBC Sports Boston and Quick Slants. He might have done other shows on there. I don't know, but I don't think he was ever a network guy or an NFL network or any of those things, which there's a lot of Patriots doing those things.
That's true. You know what? I got to give Kern credit. All the co-hosts he's had, he doesn't go around talking about, I made that guy. Like, you know, like Tangway used to do that. I made this guy. I gave him his big break. Like, that was like a big Tangway thing.
Well, he could Kay Adams. I mean, she's huge.
Sure. And Kern doesn't go around claiming credit for all his co-hosts. So I do give him credit for that. That's, you know.
Sure. We should ask him.
We should.
Are you a kingmaker?
Yeah. And I don't know what he'd say, but the results from the people who have co-hosted that show with him. They've gone on to big thing. One of them is the head coach of the New England Patriots right now as we speak.
I'm not sure he gets credit for that.
Well, I mean it's part of his journey, was it not?
Did play for the team.
He did. He did, but I think the quick slants thing was the more important factor that they all considered. Where Robert Kraft looked at it, he was like, the Israel trip, the quick slants, playing for the team, and then down at the bottom was all the other stuff.
Wow.
I'd say quick slants is right up there,
second
right
to
under
Israel.
The Israel trip, if you ask me about that. The Patriots right now in complete disarray. We have updates now on the offensive line that are just mind-boggling. When you look at the names now, they're pulling, for the David Andrews injury, pulling guys off the practice squad and giving them all the first-team reps.
Can you name
center this week? I cannot. I have no idea what this person's name is, and you just looked it up, and you can't tell me what his name is.
Brian Hudson, and that's Brian with a Y-A-N.
Brian with
interested.
A Y, okay.
Undrafted rookie out of Louisville.
Okay.
He's 23 years old. He's 6'5", and he's 301. He's a bearded fella, if you want to see what he kind of looks like.
Yep.
He's
shaved looks head. Like, looks like a guy. I mean, he does.
I'm going to leave that one alone.
Brian Hudson looks like
a guy.
We don't
need to go there.
He just looks like a guy.
Save that for the 5 o'clock hour if we're going to get in trouble.
What is that? That was not a controversial
statement.
I
don't
know. He just looks like a guy.
This day and age, in this economy, have you seen the things going on in the world?
I didn't mean it in some sort of,
I just want my job.
They, them thing. I just meant he looks like a guy. He looks like any old guy, you know? Like, he's just a guy.
You look like a guy in, like, the good way? Like, you have confidence after looking at him that he can do the job if he has to play every snap on Sunday against
the Dolphins? I look at him, and I think that guy could probably kick my ass. So, yeah, I'd say that's
wait, that's the barometer?
That's the barometer. I mean, what else am I supposed to glean from a headshot?
Joe
Braverman
could kick your ass, and you're going to play him at center?
I would mop the floor with Joe Braverman. What are you talking about?
I would agree with our Arkan's assessment.
Jesus,
Joe. Mollywopped.
I'm trying to fluff you up here a little bit.
Gross.
Pump you up. Let's go.
He's trying to fluff him
up. Easy.
Now he's saving it for the 5 o'clock
Are you
hour.
Looking to get out early or something today?
Kind of. You're the one talking about fluffing up
Joe
Braverman.
I don't want to do 4 hours by myself.
All right.
Just because I can carry you doesn't mean I want to do it by myself.
Well, I'm not the one who's getting carted out of here after talking about fluffing up the producers. So anyways, the Patriots are favored this weekend.
How?
Despite all the problems. They're still the team that Vegas believes. Well, maybe don't believe that they'll win, but they'll believe more people are going to bet on them to win than bet on the Miami Dolphins, which I think, just based on everything that's gone on so far here and the way this thing's going, I don't know. I mean, the Dolphins to me seem like such an easier bet, don't they?
Yes.
Even without a quarterback, I look at that team and I just think that's a much better team than these Patriots.
So I may be oversimplifying this, but I would treat this game, if I'm Mike McDaniel, I'm supposed to be a genius and a schemer and all these things. Nope. Treat this game like you are a high school football coach. And a good high school football coach, in my opinion, gets the ball to his best athletes, right? It's very simple. Like, my guy is better than your guy. So if I have a big running back, I'm going to hand it to him 25 times. If I have, you know, an athlete, I throw some screen passes, get it to him in space, ends around. To me, I would be looking for the ratio for the receivers. 10 or 15 touches for Hill, 10 or 15 touches for Waddle, because I believe in space against the Patriots athletes who haven't always tackled very well, have actually given up big plays behind them, so you might want to take a couple deep shots at various points. But that's the offense I would try to run. Forget, like, oh, I got to do these orbits, bubble motions, this, that. Nope. Just get the ball to Hill and say, run fast and run far. Hey, Waddle, you run fast and you run far. Hell, Waddle ran through the Patriots 2 years ago when Duggar and Bentley both missed tackles on a long touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
I just, that would be my offense. It would get it to Hill, get it to Waddle, because I think that's all you have to do.
Yeah, I remember that game, too. You remember the Duke Johnson game out in Miami where he ran all over him? And I think Waddle set, like, the rookie reception record that day. And that was before Tua got Tyreek Hill, and that was when Flores was still there. And you were still having trouble with that team back then. Like, I look at the Dolphins like boogeymen these days, you know? Like, over the even when Brady was here, like, I never, ever felt good about matchups with the Dolphins. And even without Tua playing, I still don't this week. There's no way. Even if the Patriots were better than what they are, I'd still be wary of the Dolphins and the fact that the Patriots are such a mess. I'm surprised by this. I am. I'm surprised that there's this much action coming in on New England.
They might be the most disappointing team in the NFL, right? They're 31st in some of the power rankings, just ahead of the Patriots.
Yep.
And I know they're scrambling at the quarterback position, and they brought in Huntley, which people seem to give them an excuse for bringing in Huntley. Like, you were ill-prepared at the quarterback position. That's what this tells me.
Right.
So, you can't feel good about the Dolphins, but you're right. There is also some semblance of, like, the bus test. When you see Tyreek Hill get off the bus, you're like, oh, yeah, he's still on the Dolphins. Oh, he could make big plays against us. We could have a problem. And they have four touchdowns. That's all they have. Four touchdowns. They have 43 points. They don't score. They haven't scored.
Four touchdowns.
Four touchdowns. And
how many four touchdown games did they have last year?
Right.
Right? So
they probably scored most of them. 70? What was this? 71 against Denver?
Something like that, yeah. Like, they had a crazy game against Denver.
They're going to make it through that first half of the season not scoring 70 points at the current pace they're at. Mm-hmm. Although, you never know. This is a bad matchup.
Yeah, week three, 70-20 they beat Denver.
And now they've scored four on the season through four games. And that's where I say Mike McDaniel is sort of getting some criticism for his scheme, but they still have dangerous weapons. And Huntley, for all we want to mock him, DeMarcus Covington, don't bring up that Huntley made the Pro Bowl. He didn't really make the Pro Bowl. He had more interceptions than touchdowns. He barely played. It was a joke of a Pro Bowl trip.
It was less legit than Mac's Pro Bowl.
Way less legit.
Mac was like Dan Marino compared to Snoop Huntley.
But he is still a guy that's been around the NFL for a few years. I mean, you could throw the ball to Hill. Just have him stop, go backwards at the line, and then say, beat the guy in front of you. Mm-hmm. Like, That's the one thing I would say is I think if there's one of these two teams that has the potential to just make plays, isn't it the Dolphins?
100% okay. It's the Dolphins. And I think that goes for the wide receivers. I think that goes for Devon Achane. I mean, I think that's all the way down there. I think that you have playmakers all in that roster. And whether or not Huntley can get him the ball or Boyle can get him the ball, I think Thompson's out, right? Like, I don't even know if he's going to play this week. Yeah. So, you know, it's going to be one of those two guys going in. And I could see Huntley getting pulled and them going to Boyle. And I could see both of those guys having a terrible time trying to run the offense. But you don't have to do much, you know? Like, there's not one player on the Patriots that you think, if I just get the ball in that guy's hand with a little bit of space, watch out, he could take it to the house. Watch out, you could flip the field here. You could make this a much different-looking game. There's nobody like that on that team. Not even Ramondre Stevenson, who I like. I mean, once in a while, he'll break off a long run, but every single one of those guys in the Dolphins is a home run hitter if they can just figure out how to get him the ball.
Right, like, you can talk yourself into Antonio Gibson, right? He can be a key. He had the long run against
Seattle. Yeah.
Like, he can
do it. That was a nice play. I forgot about that.
But it's not like you're talking about Saquon Barkley, and you're certainly not talking about Hill and Waddle. Achane is a much bigger playmaker than Gibson.
Although, not last week he wasn't.
No. Well, if you look, and so I watched the Dolphins against the Bills. They got, what's your word? Mollywopped by Buffalo. Mm-hmm. They've struggled in the first half. They give up like 30 points in the first quarter, 30 points in the second quarter. The second halves have been more evenly balanced. Now, some of that is based on, I think, that Bills game because they scored a lot of points early in that game with Josh Allen. But you look at their numbers, they're not running the ball. The other team is kind of running the ball, but not great. Mm-hmm. Neither team is good on third down. You look at their defense is actually holding the other team to a low third down conversion percentage. The offense is not converting on third down. You look at the QB numbers. All the QBs in Dolphins games stink. The ones playing against, and that's with Josh Allen's numbers.
True.
Like, the overall numbers aren't very good. They're just, it's almost like appropriate they're playing this game against Jacoby Brissett and a backup center, and it's who sucks less in this game kind of thing.
Yeah, it's a lot of what it's going to be. I'm looking around, and I'm seeing experts picking the Patriots. And I think that a lot of it, Pete Prisco over at CBS, for one, and I'm seeing, that was the main one I saw today.
He hates the Patriots.
And I saw NFL.com. They have, like, at the bottom all these different people and who they're picking. I forget what all the names were, but I saw the people picking New England, which I was surprised by. I was surprised to see that. I don't know which way the money's going in Vegas or anything at this point, like sharp money or whatever, but it is surprising. It's surprising considering how big a disarray this team's in, that they're still considered better than other teams. And we talked about this the other day. You were going on about which teams the Patriots may be better off than down the road. We really couldn't come up with too many teams that they're better off than right now. Like, now, I don't know that there's any.
No.
And I include the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins are much, much more likely to win games than the Patriots this year.
The Dolphins are more likely to win? Yes. Just based on talent.
Right.
I would say the one thing...
The Panthers with Dalton, I would put ahead of the...
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
I'm not exaggerating
here. It's
like
a short term... To me, that's a little bump because of the change and all that.
Sure.
I think that could kind of recede a little bit. The one thing the Patriots have going for them is Jacoby Brissett's health, and he's their chosen quarterback. Some of these other teams are already shuffling through the quarterback, but now you could properly say that's not a good thing. They have a bad quarterback.
Right.
He was their hand-picked bad quarterback.
The other teams recognized that there was bad quarterback play and did something about it, whereas you opted for it.
You're refusing to put in the young guy.
Yeah.
So, it's hard to talk yourself into the Patriots right now, this team. They're not well coached, in my opinion. They're banged up all over the place. Fundamentally, they keep talking about it, and I agree with it, but when you keep talking about fundamentals, they don't often just, you're going to flip a switch and suddenly the pass rush, for example. Suddenly the pass rush is not going to allow Huntley to run around.
Right.
Why? You let Geno Smith, you let Aaron Rodgers, you let Brock Purdy. So
Purdy danced the jig all over you.
And Huntley's a better runner than he is.
Yeah.
So suddenly you're just going to fix that? Why? Why should I believe you're going to fix something that seems like it's just an inherent problem? Oh, because Devon Godshaw called you out for it in the media, and Mayo agreed with him, and all the coordinators agree, and DeMarcus Covington turned into a freaking DJ on the podium today. We're going to get into that later. I'm a little down on DeMarcus Covington. I think he's a nice guy, and I heard the midday show talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
This team does have a lot of nice guys.
Yeah.
Mayo, Brissett, we talk about it.
Good
Covington,
guy.
All these guys.
A good guy, yeah. Seems like, yeah.
They all kind of stink. Mm. And I'm just, it's harsh. Gerard told me, I'm in the media, so I have to call it like I see it, right?
Yep.
I'm just listening to the head coach. I'm doing what he told me to do. They all are very nice men who are struggling big time in their jobs right now.
Yeah, agreed with that. And I was looking at, speaking of CBS, I was looking at their top five questions going into week five, and one of them was about the Steelers. And I didn't know this about the Steelers. But they're thinking about putting Russell Wilson back in this week, and I was reading about that, and it says it would be a mistake to put in a rusty 35-year-old who lost some of his mobility behind an offensive line that is now down four starters. Did you know the Steelers are down four starters on their offensive line?
I did not.
I didn't know that. The Steelers are 3-1, by the way. Their one loss was last week. They lost by 3 to Indy. Why are the Steelers so much better than the Patriots? They had a messed up quarterback situation. They had to trade for Justin Fields and sign an old-timer like Russell Wilson. Like, they have not great weapons at their disposal either on offense. They have four offensive linemen all down with injuries, and they're 3-1. Meanwhile, the Patriots are a total mess.
I never would have thought 10 years ago I'd be saying this. They have a Hall of Fame head coach.
Yeah.
They have stability atop the coaching staff, atop the team. And any of these things you've seen recently, there was another clip, like, Tomlin is impressive as a leader. There was one recently that I hear coaches talk about, oh, I can't get this guy to do what I want. Well, that's a failure in coaching. It's not the guy's fault. That's your job.
Yep.
That's your job to figure out how to reach him and teach him. And I think that's where it starts. It's not an accident that Mike Tomlin doesn't have losing seasons. Don't tell me he always has the talent to have a winning record.
Yeah, agreed.
Or a 500 record. And I think this is an example. Stability and ability. The stability of the organization and the coach and the ability of them to make chicken salad. This is why...
When were the Steelers last like a legit Super Bowl contender? Because it's been a while since you could say that.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely been a while.
They don't lose. They don't have losing seasons, but have they been real competitors?
No.
Like, do you have to bottom out completely, get a quarterback in the draft? Like, trading for Justin Fields was sort of a risky thing, and Russell Wilson's a bridge quarterback at this point, and both of those guys were guys I considered for the Patriots that I thought might have made more sense than Jacoby Brissett personally, but either way, like, is that the reason why? You have to bottom out to get that guy and come back?
I mean, hell, they bottomed out to get Roethlisberger.
True.
That was like 1 year they were bad, they got Roethlisberger. And I think this is a lesson.
Tommy Maddox years?
When you take Pickett, I think they had injuries or some injury hit, they got Roethlisberger and it worked. But when you take Pickett, you can't get an elite quarterback, so we're going to force this, and this guy's going to, nope, he's not going to be, and you're going to keep looking. So the people like you at the beginning of the year that told me, oh, I would love a 9-8 season, that would show something. You end up the Steelers. You end up a mediocre team forever because you never get the blue chip marquee talent because you didn't bottom out. And sometimes you have to bottom out to get those. Mac Jones.
Patriots are on their second rebuild now. So, you know.
Yeah, but like, how'd they try it?
They tried it with a quarterback.
A middle of the first round, far from marquee quarterback. Right?
Fair. I mean, 15. What was Mahomes? 10?
Yeah, but you know, talent-wise, I'm saying like.
Okay.
Mac Jones is closer to Pickett than he is to Mahomes. Like.
Yeah, I'd agree.
You
with
swung,
that.
And also you
They're
missed.
Both backups right now, yeah.
But I think you have to bottom out. And remember, the Chiefs were a good team that traded up to get Mahomes.
Right.
So I do think the Steelers are maybe too stable for their own good if you want a Super Bowl contender because you draft well. They find ways to get receivers, defensive players. They find ways.
So then why do you have to bottom out if you can be a good team like the Chiefs and trade into the top 10 and just do that and get your quarterback that way? Like,
well,
that's not impossible. Teams do it.
Right. If you really hit. I mean, it's challenging. You got to make a lot of really good moves. And that's not the only reason the Chiefs. Andy Reid, you have the best coach in football, maybe of this generation. I think that argument gets stronger by the day.
Sure.
The greatest coach of this generation, Andy Reid.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, you heard me, Patriots fans, and I'm happy to debate you anytime
you want. I'm not
arguing. You also hit on, you know, you took a Patriot approach to Tyreek Hill. He came in with baggage. There was a reason you got him in the fifth round.
Yeah.
Whatever it was.
Fifth round, and there was a bad story. That was
Yeah,
with
really
college,
bad story.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And you hit on Kelce. Like, you had some picks that weren't marquee picks that you really hit on. And you also maybe took some liberties in your scouting department. So, yeah, there's a million ways to do it. But in general, I don't want to be 8-8 or 9-8 or 8-8-1 or whatever the hell the Steelers seem to be every year. Nope, I would not want to do that. I'll take another 3 or 4 win season, or 1 or 2.
Well, how many of those do you want? I mean, like, cause
just one more, I told you.
That's it, just one?
Well, you're not listening to the Andy Hart plan.
So two? You get 2 4 win seasons?
Yeah, and if you don't figure it out, then Mayo and Wolf, you're in trouble. But if you figure it out, you get Will Campbell, you get Travis Hunter, whoever it is, boom, boom, boom. Now it's a year for, they're playing next year. You're going to have your lumps next year, too. You're going to be young, but you're going to see the fruit. It's starting to mature, and it's going to be oh so ripe soon. And when it's ripe, it's going to be sweet.
What are you talking about? What fruit is going to mature? What fruit?
The fruits of your roster.
Drake May. Yeah. What other fruits of the roster are there on this roster?
Will Campbell or Travis Hunter or whatever the next fruit is.
All right.
There's like a little flower. You know how fruits come from flowers? Right now,
yes.
It's just a little flower.
You don't
soon
even have
those guys
yet. It's
going to be a little
yet. Fruit. The only little flower that's there right now is Drake May. I don't know if there's
any other. Drake May's a fruit. The flower is the first round pick.
Save that.
Great. No, we're not saving that. You're in a weird mood.
You're the one saying weird stuff. Don't yell at me.
It's not weird if it's right.
It's okay. Well, fine. Gonna get you a little tape recorder. You can like Tobias Funke. Yeah. That. Well, listen. I think that in terms, and we can talk about this roster building and having pieces in place here to build around. I'm looking at the Patriots, and I'm sorry. I just don't see. I don't see a lot of that. I think that this roster is a product of that.
It's
a product
Polk
of that lack
Baker.
Of depth. What about them?
Or
what about, no, honestly, what about Polk and Baker? Baker can't get on the field.
PFF told me they had
separating, but
the
he's not
receiver.
Getting the ball. I don't know. I mean, like,
they're upset. They want the ball. Pop Douglas. If they could just get the damn ball, they'd show people like you how good they are.
Mm-hmm. So?
You don't believe it?
Not really.
That's why you got to put in Drake May.
Is Jalen Polk someone that you can just get the ball to in space like Jalen Waddle, and all of a sudden they're taking
Absolutely
off? Like,
not.
No, of course not.
No, he's a possession receiver.
Right, and a possession receiver is a nice thing to have,
yeah.
But is that a building block for an offense? Like,
it's not the most important
saying?
Building block,
right.
But it's like a connecting building
it's
block.
It's a nice thing to have. It's a nice thing
when
to
you
have
add
a good
that
offense.
To T.
Yes.
Higgins, and when you add that to Pop Douglas and Drake May is in, all of a sudden you might have an offense.
Might have fruit on your tree.
It's a very fruitful tree
that you can pluck.
I don't know
one
why
day.
You're mocking me?
Because you were saying weird.
Oh, that's not nice. Somebody
you sound
compared
like a
me
fruit
to
of
Nick,
a Loom commercial.
Some ringer Tom One compared me to Nick Sirianni. I don't think that's a compliment.
Nick Sirianni.
That doesn't seem like a compliment.
Like you look like him, or
no? No, sounds like. I
you
think.
Sound like Nick Sirianni,
and he's kind of a boob. Remember when he got to Philadelphia? And we're gonna have a plan, and we're gonna have smart players. And part of having a plan and smart players is being smart and
yes,
having a plan.
I do
and
remember
just babbled
that.
On and on, and it was awful.
Not as bad as Joe Judge and the blue-collar jersey rally speed. Like that was maybe the worst one of all time.
Speaking of which,
yes,
Gerard Mayo comparing himself to Shanahan and Campbell is kind of disrespectful to the resumes those guys had already put together.
A little bit, yeah.
Shanahan had been all around the league, had Matt Ryan as an MVP quarterback. He was in a Super Bowl. Like, he had developed an offensive pedigree and mastermind. Dan Campbell had already been a head coach.
Right.
Right?
Not a very good one, but yeah.
But he was a head coach.
He was a head coach.
Gerard Mayo had never called plays.
Right.
Anywhere.
He was a linebacker's coach with a lot
right.
of responsibility. Which well, was more Belichick's
maybe.
Fault,
maybe
I'd
a
say,
lot of responsibility.
You don't think he had
How
a lot of
I don't know. The defense seems to stink. Can we agree?
Yes.
Okay. So the defense in 1 year went from really good to stinky after two
Devin
people.
Devin McCourty retired.
No, he wasn't here last year, and they were good. This year it got stinky because Bill Belichick
right,
left and Steve Belichick left. The guy who's the architect and the guy who's the play caller, correct?
Yes.
And everybody overlooked that in the offseason and just said, oh, I'm Mina Kimes.
If it was Steve
I'm
Belichick
tell you how great
still
this
here,
defense.
You think Steve Belichick still here, his defense is good again?
Did he or did he not call the plays?
Who do you think gave him the plays?
Bill Belichick.
Right.
Right.
So he did what Dad told him to do. I don't
My
really think that's all
My point is they're
that
both gone.
Right.
So,
but it only matters that Bill's gone.
Mayo doesn't even have the memory of what play he called in the situation at hand. You replaced the two most important people on a defense and thought it wouldn't matter.
Okay.
And it has mattered greatly.
Most important people, like, I mean, it's being the vessel to repeat what Bill said, I guess, makes him important. But that's also something Mayo could have very easily done, I think.
As somebody who's begun to memorize, like, my FanDuel ads just based on saying them a lot,
yeah.
Doesn't it seep into your head?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally. I could do
G-A-M,
the whole disclaimer right,
right
off the
G-A-M,
top.
G-A-M, 1, 2, 3, 4,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like, so you don't think Steve Belichick would have been more prepared to call defenses and run this defense just based purely on what Bill told him to do?
Not really, no.
Oh, boy.
I don't think so. I think they were all in the room together. They all were involved.
So no loss with Steve Belichick, who called the plays every game for, what, three years?
If Steve Belichick was here...
They'd be better?
I don't really think so, no.
You sure about that?
I don't think so.
How do you say that?
How can I say I'm saying I don't think so?
Well, when he called plays, they were better.
Yeah, but he was calling the plays from Bill.
Okay.
He's going to be calling the plays from Gerard Mayo now.
Not to mention, if he were still calling plays and they were struggling, who do you think he'd call?
Probably Bill.
Okay. So you'd have some Bill input. He'd be an unpaid, be a paid consultant.
And Bill, when he's out, riding bikes with his 23-year-old girlfriend, probably say, "I'll call you back there, Steve."
I think he'd call his son back. He's been visiting Washington all the time.
That's true, because they pay him $50,000 to eat dinner. Boosters. There's a whole thing going on out there in Washington.
Robert's paying him like $25 million, isn't he?
That's true.
So you can answer the damn phone from Gillette Stadium when it's your son calling.
Well, why does he answer from Mayo then?
Because they stopped talking in the middle of last season, never mind this season.
What?
Right?
Then why would
not his son?
Why would Bill want to help out the Patriots? Why would he want to help out the Patriots though?
If his son was the defensive coordinator,
yeah,
he's tried to make his son look good as the defensive coordinator.
His son's
coordinator
the safeties coach right now.
No, I know.
So why is
maybe he answers
his
calls
out right now?
They got two good safeties, and yet people are throwing deep on him. You're right. Brian should call.
Yeah, or maybe. Bill Belichick's not exactly the defensive genius at 72, removed from the game.
So
and maybe the defense last year
stinks?
Was a little overrated, I think, by the way. I do think last year that the defense was overrated.
Not as overrated as this defense.
This defense is, I think, properly rated. They're like 27th
in the league. All summer, people told me they were going to be good.
I'm talking about right now.
No, I'm talking about what people told me about this defense, how it was going to win games, and they were going to lean on it, and it was going to be just as good. And I said, wait a minute, how do you lose the architect of the defense and the play caller of the defense and just pretend that won't matter?
Well, the team's going to win four games with or without them. So, and if they get that far, I'd say
sure
they'd be lucky.
That?
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I'm thinking it's about what they're getting at.
By the way, I got plus money on my
Why team. Are you so bitchy today? Jesus, my God. You're unbelievable. We're one segment in. You're unbelievable today.
And it's a
like,
really
is,
long
this
segment.
This is by far the...
I'm wound up. I don't know
the
why.
The most extra you've ever been in the month we've worked together.
Extra?
Yes, extra, by far. 617-779-7937. One of you two knuckleheads back there is doing trendy, by the way. Joe Braverman's going to tell you
the
what's trending.
Guy's going to beat you up.
And when we come back, we will hear from Jacoby Brissett, who had an interesting admission yesterday about David Andrews. That's coming up.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
We'll get those two to settle down in there. Meanwhile, we'll tell you trending now is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Patriots once again practicing to prep for their Week 5 matchup with the Dolphins on Sunday. We'll get the full injury report later on today. On yesterday's injury report, Kendrick Bourne was on the list in a limited fashion. He was participating for the first time since his torn ACL he suffered last season. Meanwhile, Kyle Duggar, KJ Osborne, Jabril Peppers, Caden Wallace were all DNPs. Week 5 of the NFL kicks off tonight with the Buccaneers taking on the Falcons in Atlanta. You can listen to Westwood One's coverage of Thursday Night Football beginning at 7:30 right here on 93.7 WEEI-FM. The MLB wildcard round only has one series left that's going to a deciding third game. That would be the Mets and the Brewers. First pitch from Milwaukee is at 7 o'clock. The Bruins play their penultimate game of the preseason tonight. They're in Quebec to take on the LA Kings. Puck drop scheduled for 7 o'clock. The team did recall Fabian Lysell from Providence for tonight's game. Thomas Castellanos will return to action for Boston College. He'll be the starting QB when the Eagles go to Virginia this Saturday at noon. And the Celtics are less than 24 hours away from their preseason opener in Abu Dhabi, where they face the Nuggets. That tip-off is set for tomorrow at noon. Contractors, builders, and homeowners, visit Jackson Lumber and Millwork for all your residential remodeling or commercial building materials and supplies. Jackson Lumber and Millwork, providing solutions and delivering results since 1946. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, it's tough, man. That would hurt me. You know, one of the key reasons why I wanted to come back here because of my past relationship with him. And it's tough when a guy like that goes down because, you know, he's not going down for anything minor, you know. I talked to him this morning and, you know, he's like, man, I think I'm going to try. I'm like, Dave, like, come on, man. Like, you know, like, as much as I would love for you to, but... you know, it's just, he means so much to this team, you know, not only just on the field, but off the field. You know, his presence, you know, in the locker room, obviously in this community. He's been here for so long. And it's like you wish you had, you know, 53, you know, David Andrews, you know.
It's Jacoby Brissett. Did that surprise you hearing that? That part in the middle about I talked to him this morning and said I want to play, and I said, nah, man.
No, that didn't as much because there was some talk of that had been reported that he was going to, could he play through it? Would it affect next year? Should he get the surgery to play next year?
I'm surprised to hear Brissett say I encouraged him not to. I thought that was interesting.
Well, I think that's
the doctor telling that.
good teammate being like, hey, it ain't worth it. We suck.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, it's sort of a you lucky we ass moment kind of there. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of that going on. And I know we're only a month into the season and, you know, they're 1-3. It's not like they're the worst team in the league, statistically, record-wise. But that's where they are in a lot of power rankings and things like that. So I hear that. I told Andrews, you know, come on, man. Like, save it for next year. Don't worry about it this year. And he said, I came to play with him. And
that,
you know, this
I found,
was a whole
that
big
struck
deal.
Me.
Yeah, that was interesting. So,
I mean, I think we painted it as he came for Alex Van Pelt.
Right.
He came to be a mentor and a leader. Like, oh, you came to play with David Andrews? Like, it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I never know how true these things are, or does it just kind of come out and then,
just putting my hand under that guy's grundle.
Right. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think they probably have a good relationship and there's probably a respect there, but also he got paid $8 million. So I would also think that was a part of the reason he came.
Yeah. That got me wondering about this team and their buy-in and sort of the whole thing that we were fed in the beginning of the season about Gerard Mayo and getting all these guys to pull in the same direction and the buy-in aspect of it all. And I wonder, like, At what point do these guys sort of look at this season for what it is? You know, there's not a ton of young, naive, oh boy, it's the NFL type of guys on this team. There's some, but, you know, not that many. And I just wonder when the checkout starts, you know, like, is that are we near that?
Oh, I think we may
have. Or has it started already?
Begun.
Yeah.
I mean, the way this has been handled and accepted and even embraced, you know, because Gerard, when he talked about Polk and Douglas in particular, said, we don't want you showing it on the field necessarily, but we want you to feel that way. It was a weird explanation. Mm-hmm. And I continue to think he tiptoes through the whole players coach and we want you to be vocal and blah, blah. I still think he came in too loose. You know, the comparison to a teacher that starts the year hard and then lets up and everybody loves the teacher, and the one that starts loose and then realizes it's chaos and tries to rein it in and everybody hates the teacher. Like, that's how I think Gerard is going down that road. But, I mean, there's a lot of examples here of being selfish, mm-hmm. for example, last week in the pass rush. And everybody seems to agree with there were guys being selfish out there.
Yeah.
Being selfish as receivers and looking for targets and looking for, well, do you care only about you get 7 targets with 5 catches for 70 yards? Or are you trying to win a football game? Because I do believe, correct me if I'm wrong here, they are trying to win. Like,
I think
Gerard,
so.
With the players they have.
I don't think they're throwing games.
No. So
first two, they almost won the second game.
DeMarcus Covington, Gerard Mayo, and Alex Van Pelt, when they sit down, are concocting a scheme and a game plan to try to win that week. And it may or may not. Why are you laughing?
It's a very low bar. Like, they're trying to win. They're concocting a game plan with the intention of winning a football game. It's like, yes, they are.
But
like, very good.
I guess my point is, if I'm Pop Douglas, I shouldn't be thinking, oh, they're intentionally like icing me out and they're not getting me the ball. They're getting it to so-and-so or they're giving it to this person too much. No, I think they're doing what they believe helps them win.
I don't think that they're freezing out any of the wide receivers.
No.
I don't think that that's happening. I think that Brissett can't get it to him.
The protection.
Or he misses them, or he's on the run and they're on the other side of the field, or any number of other factors. I don't think that Van Pelt and Mayo or McAdoo, whoever else is involved, it's probably not Mayo, but like these other guys involved in the offense, I don't think they're trying to freeze out anybody. I think they're trying to get everyone involved.
Yes.
And it's just not functioning that way, and it's as simple as that.
And as Van Pelt said today, like, last week, it was all about get the ball out of his hands. This is going to be chaos. We got Bosa coming. Like, we're a mess as an offensive line. So they're doing the best they can, right? They're bailing, but the hole in the boat is really big, and the water's coming in really fast, even mm-hmm. though they're using a 5-gallon bucket, but they need a bigger bucket to bail the boat out. That's how I look at it. But you do seem to have people that are kind of looking at it from their own personal perspective and motivations.
Yeah, you are. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Someone from the Twitch chat wants to explain the Nick Sirianni comparison to you, Andy. Go ahead, Ringerton or Ringer Tom or whatever your name is on Twitch. Go ahead.
Well, my name is Tom.
Hi, Tom.
So I wanted to explain real quick. I'm an Eagles fan, so I remember this. And he does a press conference where he talks about how the team is like a flower that you have to sprinkle water on, and okay. then it's going to grow and pop out of the ground, and that's what you reminded me of when you were talking about it.
Yeah, and everyone thought he sounded like a real tool, right?
Oh, yeah, everything he says sounds like a real tool.
Right. You're talking about Andy Hart or Nick Sirianni?
Oh, he's gone.
I guess we'll never know.
That was hurtful.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. That's true, he has.
And I think
he's
a visor guy, right?
Sirianni?
I think Sirianni. My mental image of
that
him
sounds
he's worn
right.
some
yeah,
visors.
I think he is a
I can't
visor
picture
guy.
Him without a visor.
Nick Sirianni, visor guy.
Visor guys yeah. stick together, Sirianni
birds,
and Hart.
Birds of a visor feather. All right, when we come back, we'll hear from the Patriots visor guy, Alex Van Pelt, who I've seen with visors a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Who has something to say about David Andrews, the injury, and the Drake May timeline. He said all that this morning. We'll get to it next.
Drake May's instability up front with the offensive line, does that impact his development plan or timeline at all?
Right now, we're just trying to win games on Sunday. So, you know, I would say no. I think that we just got to continue to do what's best for the team and get us in position to win on
Sunday. Andy, name this tune.
4-3-2-1.
Wow! Wow!
From the top ropes, Andy Hart!
You told him, Stiz.
I would do
How
no
would
such
tell
thing.
Me? You cheated.
Hey. How would he tell me?
In your headphones.
No, I don't even have them on.
There's what? No way. All right, by who? He looks back over there. I knew it. I knew you didn't know it.
LL Cool J.
LL Cool J.
I do love LL Cool J.
Who else? LL Cool J. Who else does?
Redman, Cannabis.
DMX, I think, has a verse on this.
Yeah, DMX, yep. Method Man, set off the famous beef between LL Cool J and Cannabis.
Cannabis,
Andy,
yes.
Do you know what they're talking about? Because I don't.
This was a big, big song when it came out. This was like for modern, it's like Control, right? Like the, yeah. When Control came out.
Yep.
That Big Sean song. This was like the Control of the 90s. Anyways,
can you
I love
speak
this
English
song.
Now?
I am
like,
speaking English.
To me?
I'm talking about it's music history, Andy.
It was a record with a lot of famous rappers who came together on one song.
Yes.
And so, like, We Are the off, World or something?
Not at all like that. It also sparked off, like, this big beef. Anyway, that was Alex Van Pelt talking about winning on Sunday. We're just trying to win on Sunday. We can't play the better quarterback because we're just trying to win on Sunday. Explain that to me.
So, I actually really liked this answer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they need to put the stupid plan talk away. I think the plan, like, those two words are becoming a mockable thing in Patriot Nation, or just something like a divisive idea. Like, I was joking with Brian. I was like, you should go to Gillette and try to start a F the plan chant in the middle of Gillette and see if you can get fans chanting. Because it does
get escorted out.
Isn't it kind of becoming trust the process?
Yeah,
And it's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
It annoys me. I liked the idea of it in the beginning. Oh, we have a plan. Like, it's very technical. So stop saying it.
At least with the trust the process, they played Simmons and Embiid, right?
Right.
Like, they actually put them out on the court and played them. Embiid got hurt a lot, and I guess Simmons did too. But, like, and this was a long time ago, and both of those guys, Simmons sucks now, but that was the whole point. Like, they got them on the court together, and they played.
Plus, don't you just assume, oh, you have a plan? Like, doesn't everybody have a plan?
Right.
Like, you have jobs. So I assume Ken Laird has a plan. I assume that Stiz has a plan. Like, we all have jobs, so we come in with an idea of what we want to do, how we're going to do, approach it. Like, this is a bigger job. So, yes, I assume there's a better plan, multiple people involved. Stop telling. I don't want to know how the sausage is made. Produce the sausage. That's all I want.
Save that one.
But is the plan annoying to you?
And Yes.
I don't mean the actual plan. I mean the talk of the
explanation of it, and when they try and rationalize it, yes that's when
so
it becomes annoying. Hearing that just now was, I didn't like that version of the plan. Now you're starting to talk about the plan like it just fits whatever thing you're trying to say right then.
Just stop.
Yeah.
You're a football coach. Coach football. Try to win the game. So I thought he actually sort of swerved to get away from plan talk there,
mm-hmm.
and I think they should probably do that more often. I don't think people want to hear. It's like somebody once told me about the NFL. They thought the NFL was too public facing with their greed. Like, they tell people, like Goodell at one point said, our goal is to grow revenues from $13 billion to $27
billion. Right.
Why would you tell your customer you're going to try to find a way to take $14 billion more from them?
Yeah.
Do it behind the scenes.
Have fun with the pay-per-view Super Bowl. Which
you know
is
what
coming.
I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're going to do it behind the scenes. Why are you telling me you're going to take my money? Like, I don't need to know your business plan. I want to watch NFL football. I want to watch Drake May. I assume the head coach, the GM, and the offensive coordinator have a plan. For every player, for every game, for every... Do they tell me there's a plan for... Don't worry, we have a plan for week three. There's the plan for week four. Like, no, just do it. Go do your job, as Bill Belichick would say. Just do your job.
Mayo likes to tell the game plan, right? Expect a lot of short passes today, guys. We're going to do a lot of short throwing. It's like, great, thanks.
He didn't this week, though, yet.
No, he didn't. He hasn't given away
a couple days left.
The entire game plan yet. I wonder if Van Pelt enjoys that. Is this the first thing that they've agreed on, Mayo and Van Pelt, which is that no matter what happened here with David Andrews, it's not going to affect Drake May? Because they both said that, and they said it the same way.
Yes. Yes. Well, publicly, they've said they agree on it.
Right, which is a lot for them, because usually the two of them are saying publicly different things.
I don't know if privately they both agree on it, because... And maybe this has pushed, is it possible this has pushed Mayo? Okay, you guys
now
are
he's
right.
Over the
we
line,
probably
yeah.
shouldn't play him. Yep. This is getting a little
no, Andrews,
ridiculous
forget it, yeah.
that we can't put him out there. Maybe this has actually unified them. That's a great point you bring up. I don't know if you stumbled into it or meant to, but.
Stumbled a little bit.
Maybe
yeah.
Maybe this has unified them, and Gerard now realizes that it's getting a little crazy out there. We have Brian, I have to turn to my screen and look his name. Brian Hudson could be our starting center. An undrafted rookie out of Louisville who no one knows and no one's heard of and whatever, maybe this has unified them.
Yeah.
It's possible.
It's possible. I also think, well, it also implies, though, that because the implication here is it doesn't change anything about the timeline. And if that's the case, then that means Mayo already said, well, then we're going to play Brissett this week anyway, right?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't that imply previously planning this,
well,
having already agreed on this?
Or sort of, we're not going to play him till it's ready. And this makes us less ready. So it really doesn't change anything because we weren't ready with him out there.
Yeah, it's true.
I guess you could kind of spin it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Anyway.
By the way, can I quickly reveal my poll results? I put up a poll. This is my new thing. I pop in an idea
big
pops
poll
into
guy,
my head.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Big poll guy.
Yes.
You just said you revealed
I
your
I appreciate
poll.
You saying that. I'm like that Olympic pole vaulter. I'm a big poll guy. I appreciate you bringing that up.
That guy's the biggest poll guy.
I'd be happy to known as a big poll guy. So, yes, yeah. We'll go with that. I asked a very simple question. Patriots fans, if it was your decision, would you start Drake May Sunday against the Dolphins? And we are coming up on 500 votes here. 58% yes, 42% no.
That's not a very big discrepancy. No. I thought it'd be much, much more in the yes department. I'm surprised by
that. I thought it would be too. I thought it would be like
58, that's nothing.
High 60s, maybe 70 to 30, somewhere in there. So, yeah, it's not. And this may be David Andrews. May have affected. This poll, had it been taken before David Andrews' injury, may have been a little bit more heavy on the play him side.
Even without David Andrews, I still want to see Drake May.
Me too.
I still want him out there. I still think he needs to go out there and play at some point. I mean, I'd be fine with it being this week, and I don't even necessarily think it has to be he's in there for the rest of the season, and we're going to stick with him hell or high water. Even if he has a bad game, you can take him out. I don't think you have to now suddenly set a course for something that you can't deviate from, right? If you put Drake May in this week, but I do want to see him this week.
Now, do you think they have an actual, because we'll talk to Karn at 3:30, and I believe he now has a number where he has said when you're six games below 500, that's when it's time to play Drake May. He put a number out there. Mm-hmm. Do you believe they have some actual record or date or week circled for Drake May?
No, I don't think so. It's sliding, but I think it's just based on injury. Like if he gets injured, then we're going to have to stick with what we said and play the kid. Otherwise, if he's healthy, if he's alive, if he has a pulse, we're putting Brissett out there, and that's the way it's going to be for the whole year. I believe Kern, and we'll ask him again about this this week. I believed him when you made that face like someone farted in here, and he said if it was up to them, they wouldn't play May all year. I believe that. I think that's true. I think that's exactly right. I think that's the way that they would like to do it. They'd like to do the Andy Hart redshirt plan and just keep him on the bench the entire season.
See? Great minds think alike.
Right, except you want him to play this weekend, so you're trying to have your cake
torn.
And eat it too.
100%. Yeah. Guilty as charged. Charged often in that area.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Pierre LeBrun has an update on the Jeremy Swayman situation. We'll get to that, and we'll discuss it right after this. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.